Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. I'm back from vacation. 1 month, the internet without me. This is the first time I leave the internet for so long. Hopefully, you guys have been surviving. Today I'll be sharing what I thought about the important news items during my vacation, what happened during my vacation, and then look at what's happening now. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? End of the line, Joel says, Odyssey traffic just jumped 400%. Do I hold a big share at Odyssey? Am I the causer of the traffic here? Maybe I am. That's good to think. A lot of people are moving to Rumble, but I don't know. I never liked Rumble. I don't like the interface. I think it's not modern. Odyssey has been respecting our free speech here. We've been able to share all of the ideas we wanted to share, so it's hard to make the move when you are well served. And Odyssey has been tweeting a lot during my vacation saying, we're not dead, we're not disappearing, we bought ourselves back. So apparently the Odyssey bankruptcy, they bought themselves back. So there were no buyers. Well, you know, would you want to buy a website where Papa JF is a streamer, really? It's a big liability legally, so perhaps no one wanted the trouble. So they bought themselves back. So good ninja move here, protecting internet liberty. And they say that they are currently working on peer-to-peer type of resistance, the kind of platform of streaming that no one will be able to censor. That will be fun because I have all of the material. I have the fiber optics connection that if I had a good platform, I could stream directly to you guys. If I had the software, that's all that's missing. But I have the hardware. I'm able to stream. I could be as good as a Odyssey server if someone programmed it. And it seems that this is what they're working on. So let's talk about the vacation. I was planning to go to the Bible Belt. I didn't. I drove there and the border stopped us. So I don't want to get into the details because I don't want to get in trouble. But I will say that all my life I have crossed the border in and out of the U.S. No paper needed, no nothing. Literally just, oh yeah, come in, and oh, bye-bye. For the first time of my life, after I've become a political commentator, they started going super rough with me, both at the Canadian level and the US level. They started doing increased scrutiny, and it's like, fuck off. I'm speaking freely under the First Amendment. I'm legal both in Canada and the US. I did have a passport, Stephen Robinson, but the point is the passport was sufficient. I didn't have supplementary papers. Now, because I'm a public speaker, it's like hours of interrogation, and it's like, oh, well, you don't have this paper. Well, I never needed this paper ever to cross the border. Now suddenly they want it. So it's very, when you give power to bureaucrats, you give a discretion to them to violate laws. And really, it's you guys should be pissed in the U.S. because I'm Papa JF. I'm a magnet of the crypto world. Any place I go, I will spend money, just like an animal, just throwing money. And I was ready to throw money because I was with my new girlfriend, ready to, you know, have some touristic moment of my life. I was ready to go to restaurant, pay taxes on all my meals. You guys are deprived of money, the business people of the U.S. You're deprived of Papa JF money because some bureaucrat at the border decided under the direction of Joe Biden. And by the way, while I was interrogated, there was the Trinity, Joe Biden. His picture was there. There was Kamala Harris and there was Mayorkas. Can you believe this? So anyways, it sucks that it's that way because the left is hurting the American economy. It used to be that, especially since I have a history of 15 years of telling the truth at the border, I never lied. 15 years of going in and out, I never lied. I always was straight with them, and I was straight with them. Like, I just want to be a tourist for a month. I have a vacation. Do you want to let me in? And it's like the southern border. You have a bunch of people entering the U.S. right now who bring zero money in, who will just need stuff. They will just be dependent. And yet you have the Joe Biden administration making it like Canadian Papa JF is going to be a dependent in the U.S. Bro, I don't depend on anything. I'm Papa JF. Google it. Frog Eyes says, I'm late. Is JF describing being stopped at the border on the way in? Did they deny him? Yes. So then I found myself, okay, I was planning a month of tourism in the U.S. I can't go. So me and my girlfriend spent an amazing time in Montreal. We went to Montreal. We went to cheese shops. We spent money. We went to big restaurants. We went to the Pied de Cochon. We ate all of the classical meals of the Pied de Cochon that I remember. Duck in a can, raw duck. And there was a rotolo. There was a plug à Champlain. It was very good. And yeah, we enjoyed time in family, but not in the place that we had originally expected. And during my vacation, Daniel Dennett died. And I realized this vacation, it was a fun vacation, you know, seeing the normies, seeing the stench of death that's hanging over civilization, an aging civilization, and bureaucrats everywhere. And I kind of accepted in this vacation that the world is just rotting. And another thing I've accepted is these motherfuckers are about to die on me without reading the Revolutionary Phenotype. Fucking Daniel Dennett. Rest in peace. He will be remembered in history for being an evolutionary thinker who failed at reading the Revolutionary Phenotype before dying, thus depriving his mind from understanding the true danger of Darwin's idea. A reminder to all that we are only given a limited time to engage with the truth. His brain now rots in the rest of the compost pile that we will all join one day. These fucking idiots are about to die on me without being informed of an important scientific theory that they would find quite pleasurable to be in contact with. That pisses me off. It pisses me off for Daniel Dennett. It's not about me. It's not about me being, I don't want to live in Daniel Dennett's head. I just want him to be in contact with the ID before he dies. Now, Richard Dawkins is on his deathbed too. I mean, he's going to die a couple of years from now for sure. And he has only these years left to engage with the Revolutionary Phenotype. And they don't do it. Why? Because of some... This is exactly what they brought to me at the borders. Oh, well, what about the articles that say you're a white supremacist? What about them? Do you feel that the American media is particularly truthful? What about them? What about these articles? I would have wished that my experiment with the social world would have been successful and that people would have had balls and say, you know what? I don't care if they call him a murderer in Newsweek. I don't care if they call him a rapist in Daily Beast. I'm going to read his fucking book. Hey, or I'm going to let him enter the U.S. But no, we are in the world of crap, a falling, dying civilization. And this is the civilization in which I had fun for a month with my wonderful girlfriend. We have bonded. We have discovered each other because we've only been knowing each other since October. But it's wonderful to discover a woman of this level. I didn't know I would have access to this. I didn't know it existed. I had given up. But here she is, the girlfriend, the new girlfriend in my life. And she's awesome. Intelligent. We have similar kinds of humor. She is kind of on the autistic side in terms of being an intellectual and being analytic with the world. That is so awesome. Yeah. Most are lazy and cowardice. It's just true, says Dan Simon. Yeah, and again, another thing in my vacation that struck me as cowardice, absolute cowardice. Elon Musk. This is a tweet where I believe it's impossible that Musk is not lying here. Lying knowingly, consciously. Because he's commenting on a talk by Eva Vlaardinger-Brook. Now, Eva, I've been in love with her. I have to say, since I'm with my new girlfriend, who is a 10 out of 10 supermodel, something very special happened. I can now see the defects in Eva Vlaardinger-Brook. Like, seriously, I used to idolize this person as the most beautiful expression of the female human genre. Now I look at her and I compare her to my girlfriend and I'm like, ah, you know, she's getting fat on the cheeks. You know, she's getting kind of a pothead, stoner look in her eyes in certain poses. And you know, these blonde hair, they're kind of charming, but I know they're fake. And we can see her black roots starting to grow, and we can see their fake blonde hair based on her eyebrow. And so I cannot believe that I have reached this point of having the luxury of finding the defects of Eva Vlaardinger-Brook. And on top of it, she's been... it seems that on the Israel question, she's been kind of joining the chorus of the Charlie Kirks of this world. I think she brings a positive contribution. She brings a positive contribution because she brings the fight against medical tyranny, the fight against technological tyranny, and the fight against white replacement. Now, So we have to be careful in not complaining too much about this girl, but she seems to be tracing a route for herself in the Charlie Kirk, TPUSA type of direction. And that means that in the end, she has these causes to her heart, but she's not willing to shock with the truth. Tree Bird says we are ruled by minority opinions, not majority anymore. See, that's something that came in the interview of Tucker Carlson with Alexander Dugin. That's what he said, Alexander Dugin. And Alexander Dugin is an interesting thinker. I think it's great that the interview happened, but I don't think he fully gets it. And especially when he goes into transhumanism, I think he's missing the revolutionary phenotype key to his understanding. There's a whole generation of thinkers who will never truly be able to engage with transhumanism because they didn't read the revolutionary phenotype. That pisses me off. Pisses me off that people will all die just with their boomer thoughts and... It's going to be either Terminator or Matrix. It's going to be worse than both. It's going to be the phenotypic revolution. So Eva Vlaardinger-Brook comes with a decent speech about white replacement, affirming that, yes, white people are being replaced. By the way, one question they asked me at the border is, so... is it true that in your video blog on Odyssey, is it true that you're saying we must outbreed people by making 14 to 20 babies per couple. And I was like, I don't know that I've said 14 to 20. Where have they gotten this? I have no clue. Maybe they've mistaken an episode number. Like episode number 1420. So I don't think I ever said that we had 14 babies to make. But I did say that we must outbreed people or else we stop existing. And then they're like, so tell us about the people we need to outbreed. I was like, sure. So what kind of people would you outbreed? Like, when you're breathing, what kind of people do we want to outbreed? And of course, you guys can understand what they were looking for as an answer. So I said, well, we need to outbreed. The forces of civilization must outbreed the group of people who commit more crimes, who are unable to respect other people's liberty, and who are otherwise incompatible with the American Constitution, with the founding documents of our countries. And I said this knowing that these employees must have made an oath to the American Constitution, because they were kind of police agents, if you will, police of the border. And so it's like, yeah, I know how to seal tight my answers. I'm not going to give you the hooks you're looking for. Shrink Mamel, Dan Simon says 14 to 20. Yeah, let's make 14 to 20 babies each. That sounds good. I mean, not that I had suggested the idea, but since the border is talking about it, let's do it. Shrink Mamel says, JF, I'm excited to meet the girl. I've been video chatting. I'm going to spend 5 weeks in the Philippines with her. She's open to having as many children as I desire. Listen, guys. Shrink Mamel has been telling us stories of failures with the American woman for more than a year now. And it's been very painful because I want to give him the best help I can. And I think I delivered some good advice at times. But, I'm not deceiving him either. Like, it's problematic. You're going to try, and I'm going to give you the best chance with your try. But the landscape of the dating world in America is really not good. So I've always kept the option open for the Asian redirection. And Shrink Mamel went for it. Shrink Mamel has just secured a woman who wants to, well, I will not say what she wants, but she wants a full life with him, and they are dedicated to each other. And she's an Asian, you know, Filipino, so it's not like these poor Japanese, Chinese, 10 out of 10 beautiful Asians, but she's a good 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10. She's a beautiful Asian. And Shrink Mamel is going to see her in June, so that's in about 1 month from now. A 19-year-old, dedicated young woman who just wants to love him. And she had some projects of college or whatever in Filipino. She gave them up. And now she's going to be with Shrink Mamel. It seems that her whole family supports her. You don't see this in America. You don't see a 19-year-old being pushed and funneled into making her life about being a wife. That doesn't happen at 19-year-old in America. And we need to start making it happen, because what Eva is talking about here, the disappearance of white people, is largely due to the fact that we don't make enough babies and we make them way too late. I've explained this. The exponential effect of the theory of evolution can be had when you squeeze your generations into smaller amounts of time. Real Base Talk says that's the end of his family line. Well, the thing is, you can't blame Shrink Mamel. I will defend Shrink Mamel here. He gave a try to the white genes more than it deserves, honestly. He gave a try to the white woman more than she deserves. The thing is, he's been emotionally abused by these women. He had to go on one night stands, get them in bars, try to establish, hey, do you want a family? Wouldn't that be nice? Try to play with them for a week, for a month, until they all dropped him. So you're not going to tell me, JF, that's bad counseling to send this guy to a Filipino woman who says she wants to love him. Because at some point, it's not the genes of the race, it's your genes. And I think there's much... this guy is so dedicated, Shrink Mamel. I think there's a place, there's an evolutionary selection happening here. How many guys would end up childless in the situation of Shrink Mamel? How many guys would end up not reproducing at all? Real Base Talk says, yes, I have been following his exploits, but why give up? Well, you have to give up because you have to... If you have a Filipino woman who wants to dedicate her life to you, you need to give up because you want to dedicate her life to her also. So, I mean, he found someone. That is the good news. Now, people are raising the possibility of dying ambushed in the Philippines. Yeah, you have to be careful because there can be extensive frauds happening. There can be people misrepresenting who they are, but Shrink Mamel is an intelligent guy. So I believe that he's going to put himself into the least risky possible situations and we'll know in June if she's for real or if five guys show up and try to kidnap a Shrink Mamel. I guess if Shrink Mamel doesn't send super chats in June, July, August, we'll declare him dead. So Eva was saying something very true here, and Elon is supposed to be a force for truth, but for X to be a force of truth, Elon will need to be less of a social pleaser. Because Elon totally made it look like he was fighting a theory that he wasn't fighting, and he made this because he wanted to please everyone on all sides. Let's hear first what she had to say.
Countries, then this time that we live in will go down in history as the time in which Western nations no longer had to get invaded by hostile armies in order to be conquered. This time will then go down in history as the period in which the invader was actively invited in by a corrupt elite. And not only did this corrupt elite invite the enemy in, they made the native population pay for it too. Everyone who has eyes can see it. The native, white, Christian, European population is being replaced at an ever-accelerating rate. Let me back this up for you with some statistics from my home country.
So, I mean, we don't need to review this here. We've been talking about this for years. That's the reason so many attacks have been launched at me. And really, it's going to have to be a truth that society comes to peace with. Like, okay, you can kind of deny the white genocide when whites are 60, 70% of the population, but you're not going to be able to deny it when they're 20, 30%. It's there. And Elon Musk, unfortunately, look at how much... this is... I don't know. I don't even know the word in English. This is cowardice, yes. Cowardice. Elon Musk, instead of saying, hey, you know what she's saying is true. Her statistics are true. He starts with the words, the problem with the great replacement theory. Now, that is a threshold. If you're going to tell me there's a problem with a theory, it needs to be wrong. If you start, there is a problem, and then you don't identify a problem, then I'm thinking that you are engaged in a convenient lie here. I'm thinking that Elon Musk is not talking about the truth in his heart when he tweets this. I think what he's doing is he's making it up to look like he identified a problem and therefore does not associate with the theory. So he's talking to the social world here. And Elon, as long as you keep this gigantic problem inside of you, you're not going to be able to operate X toward the truth. You have to give up. You have to, if you want to be truly in line with the truth, you have to give up social pleasing. That is certain. In 2024, there's way too many layers of delusions in the population. You're not going to make it as a truth seeker if you don't detach yourself from your desire to please. And when Elon starts with the problem with great replacement theory, and he goes on and not identifies a problem, he's telling me that he's not there yet. He's not a full truth seeker yet. And if someone should be free in this world, it should be Elon Musk. Because Elon Musk has more freedom than me. He has more money than me. If I could afford, and in fact, live a plentiful and pleasurable life while sticking to the truth, Elon should be able to. Attack Manlet says, Jeff, I really freaking missed your show. Thanks for coming back and hope your vacation was based. It was. It was fun. There were speculations on Discord of whether I would come back and make a show every night or if I would disappear. You guys are insane. I'm not disappearing. The day I'm disappearing from the internet is the day I die. I've been securing a life for myself on the internet and freedom of speech. I'm not giving this up when it's fun. I've made way too many sacrifices and there's no way anyways for me to reconvert back to the normie world. It's like they're not going to employ me at the local McDonald's. So I'm stuck here, but also happy to be here forever. That is a decision I've taken back in 2015 when I started producing under my real name and not using an anonymous identity. That was because I knew I wanted to throw myself in the ring in a way that guarantees I can't run out of it. So Elon says the problem with great replacement theory is that it fails to address the foundational issue of low birth rate. So here, Elon Musk is jumping across the Hume distinction between morals and facts. Suppose I tell you, hey, I have a theory that explains perfectly well how planet Earth revolves around the sun. It even predicts when's the next season happening. In fact, I can predict all of the solar eclipses. By the way, I've seen the solar eclipses during my vacation. We were driving in car and we drove right under the path of the solar eclipse. It was insane looking at it with real eyes. We tried photographing it. It didn't work. The photos don't really communicate what we saw with our eyes. The entire road became dark. The contrast of lights was bizarre. It was a bizarre feeling. Because it was not like it's night or evening. It was like a totally a shitting up of the contrast structure in a way that the Earth was lighted in a way that I've never seen before. And then I looked at the eclipse, and you shouldn't do this. You have to look and then look away. I looked and then I look away. But the moment I looked at it, you could have this in a trailer, really. It was this ball of darkness at the middle of the sun. And we were just seeing a slim surrounding of the moon, of orange fire. It was absolutely perfect. We tried taking a picture of it. It looked terrible. The picture just... the phone was blinded, but with your real eyes seeing the eclipse, my God, if it was 600 years ago and we were into mysticism, I wouldn't be surprised that people are looking at this eclipse and they're like, oh my God, this is a sign from God or the devil, or there's monsters that are going to come onto the earth. I would be shocked. It was a very special event. That being said, back to Elon Musk. If I say I have a theory that explains how planet Earth revolves around the sun, you can't come and say, well, the problem with your theory is that it fails to address what we should do once the sun collides with the Earth and we have to survive as a species. The goal of a theory is to state a fact, to assess the state of reality, period. A theory cannot go further than this. If you want to go further than this, if you want to start talking about what we plan to do, how we should organize around this, you are in the moral domain. And you are talking about what we should do in response to the facts. So it's absolutely unfair for Elon to have said the problem with a theory is that it doesn't address my moral plan. And what is the plan of Elon Musk? He finds that there is a foundational issue of low birth rates. First, to paint this as foundational is ridiculous. It's just to give an allure of seriousness to the sentence, which, as I've demonstrated, is completely ridiculous. But Elon finds that Western civilization doesn't reproduce quick enough. And by this moral revelation, he is suggesting that it is such a problem that population isn't growing forever. It is such a problem that we would be morally justified in replacing, in compensating for the lost birth rates through immigration. The problem, Elon, is historically, we are at the peak of the number of people on Earth. We are at the peak of the number of people in Canada. We are at the peak of the number of people in the US. So if you're going to try to sell me a program of continued growth, you're going to have to demonstrate to me that we haven't reached some kind of a natural boundary. Now, whenever I say this, there's a bunch of extreme right-wingers like Owen Benjamin style who are all over this idea that, oh no, JF, the Earth's full capacity is 10 times what it currently is, 100 times what it currently is. You don't know what you're talking about. And they're kind of calculating this like leftists, like they're calculating your footprint and they're calculating, oh, look, I can build higher buildings in Japan and stack even more people in the cubicles. But I think this is missing a reality, which is that we don't know what are the natural limits. There may be a natural limit because the population isn't innovative anymore. There may be natural limits because there is so much parasitism with state bureaucrats living off the productive population that it's impossible to grow more than we currently are. That the amount of parasites is too high and we need to rebalance down if we want to have a continued civilization that continues to grow and evolve. There may be, you know, it's not necessarily that we're going to lack beef or we're going to lack grass or we're going to lack space. The limits for a life form is about everything they do. And perhaps our limit is a social limit. Perhaps we are faced in a world where groups of 7 million people, 10 million people, 30 million people aren't fit to be nations. And perhaps we're due to slow down, re-equilibrate. Perhaps we're at a point of civilization where employees aren't making enough to even have a house of their own, and therefore a family of their own and a place to live securely. And perhaps it's time that employees become rarer so that they become more desirable on the market so that their salaries increase. There may be a million reasons why we might have reached a limit of civilizational growth in numbers. And it wouldn't be surprising that we reached a limit since we are at the highest peak that we've ever been. I mean, there's more population now. We've grown exponentially in the last 400 years. So something is wrong. And the Elon Musk of this world, who are in this mentality of continued endless growth, of course, I understand. You are personally profiting from endless growth. You are a late civilizational agent who has made his wealth trying to sell kind of improvements in efficiency or improvements in carbon footprint through Tesla or through all of your internet endeavors. And you're selling this to an ever-growing population. And this endless growth is what has been feeding the ever-increasing inflation, valuation of gold, valuation of stocks. Basically, we are deceiving society into a mode that there is always more available. And we're so hungry for more that at this point we're taking people who shouldn't be around. You know, we're taking people who are fundamentally unfit with our civilization just to increase our numbers. And democracy is also at play here. The Democrats are happy to bring these people in because they vote Democrats, and it creates this reinforcing loop. So careful, Elon, not to violate the Hume guillotine, because you did here, and it shows me, and I think you're too intelligent to have done this unintentionally. I don't think it's an error. I think you have intentionally misled people. Record low birth rates are leading to population collapse in Europe and even faster population collapse in most of Asia. Immigration is low in Asia, so there is no replacement going on. The countries are simply shrinking away. I mean, it's barely. They barely are. And, you know, people are talking about the dramatic situation of Japan. Give Japan a fucking break. It's an island. You can't populate Japan with Tokyo just throughout. You can't cover the whole island with asphalt. Calm down. Let the population reconverge toward their natural equilibrium and trust the theory of evolution, Elon. What happens when people don't make babies? There's always someone making babies. There's always someone making 4 or 5 babies. These people will end up replenishing the country because they're going to beat the others at the game of natural selection. So you have nothing to worry about. Population collapse is a self-solving problem. So why this obsession about population collapse is because there's a class of businessmen, and I suspect Elon is willfully, explicitly with them, that cannot take the evolutionary time to let populations converge back to their natural equilibrium. Elon is not telling you. Elon wants you to believe that civilization will collapse as a whole. But the reality is, if you let Japan go, if you let Canada go without immigration, it's going to take 30 to 100 years to fix itself. It's going to take 5 human generations, and you're going to be back to current population levels, and you're going to be growing again. Because it's always like this. Those are the curves of biology. There's always a game to play at the low child rate, and you can win that game. And there's then always a game to play at the high birth rate, and you can win that game. And in fact, the high birth rate always wins in the end. It's the great bottom of evolution. So the fact is, Elon isn't trying to save civilization. Elon has the problem that he is incapable of accepting a pause of 30 to 100 years in this great deception forward that the modern world is. That is what's happening. Elon isn't trying to save civilization. He is just blocked in front of nature. He fails at understanding it, and he doesn't want to understand it because from the perspective of Elon, who is a kind of boomer, if you will, from his perspective, 30 years to 100 years of pause is unacceptable. But if you don't trust the mechanism of nature, Elon, you're going to create horrors, man-made horrors, that you would have never thought could exist. And this is what we're about. This is what we're currently doing with our immigration policy. We're bringing in people to pump up the number, assuming that everyone is equal, right? I can take an African, I can put him in Montreal, and he's going to be a productive member of society. No, it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much difference in the personality and the tendency for criminality to completely wreck our world. So you're going to wreck our world, Elon, with your, we need to address the foundational issue of low birth rate, suggesting that if the whites don't make babies, we should replace them, and it would be good to replace them. Exelus says, Elon is also a mouthpiece for his tech overlords. He serves an egregore of interest. Absolutely. He says, if this doesn't turn around, then any countries on Earth with low birth rates will become empty of people and fall into ruin, like the remains we see of the many long dead civilizations. No, Elon. First, long dead civilizations, people fled them. People didn't die. They made life elsewhere. I have some bad news for the fleers. There's no more place to flee to on planet Earth. There's no escape route. We've discovered all of it, and we went around it. I'm waiting for Antarctica to melt, but until that happens, there's no way out. So there are no more places to flee. And secondly, there are no places where it's more attractive than Western Europe to live. That's why everyone wants to live in Western Europe, and I include Canada and the US in this. So you are stuck in a world where there it's not like the world of the 16th century. Where, oh my God, you have this big land that's basically undiscovered. I mean, the Native Americans colonized it, but we can basically colonize it anew. And it has all sorts of opportunity and natural resources. This is not the current situation. The whole world, Elon, is covered in shit. And it smells shit when you go there. And the people are literally bathing in shit sometimes. Hermit says, I think you're too charitable with Elon, JF. He's too mercurial all around to trust about anything. Deadstar is sending a super chat. He says, isn't the replacement causing societal issues that worsen the birth rate through, though, Elon? Yes, the replacement that Eva is describing comes with a hate of white people, comes with affirmative action, comes with punishment of white people on the market, lowering their value below their true value because, oh, it's like, okay, you need to hire a black, you need to hire a Mexican, you need... And you find yourself not hiring the people who would deserve to hire and who would give your money's worth. So yes, that causes a bunch of white people to be unable to find work in certain sectors. And they are therefore less able to create families. Whoopi Goldberg has a meltdown.
There's also, this is my favorite.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you before I say it that it enraged me. There is a definite anti-white feeling in the country right now.
Oh, please.
Yeah, that's what he said. You know, sir.
No, sir.
Yeah, sir. Nobody in your family was hung. Nobody in your family was chased because of the color of their skin. How dare you?
Is there someone in your family that you know of, Whoopi, who's been hanged and chased for their race? I don't think so. You'll find one black person. I can find a white person who's been hanged. I mean, I can find white people on an everyday basis on social media being physically attacked, some of them killed for being white. So, and I don't have to go back 200 years ago. So right now, and in fact, the statistics speak to this, anti-white hatred crimes are more frequently committed by black people than anti-black hatred crimes are committed by whites. The statistics on racist crimes indicate that the black population is the most likely to commit racist hate crimes.
You. There's no anti-white issue here. You are perpetrating.
Well, there is. It's just that you are blind to it. But go look at the FBI stats on racial hatred. You will see that the Asians are not committing much, the whites are not committing much. The blacks are the most frequent offenders. Stephen Robinson says, she mad, lol. Well, madness and hate is all they can have. Because if you were to just coldly look at the statistics, you would know that white hatred in 2024 is not a big social problem causing crimes. If you wanted to reduce the number of racist crimes in America, your first target population would be black people. Not on the victim side, on the offender side. Mike McCullough was commenting. By the way, Mike McCullough is about to publish his book. I think it's going to be his ultimate book on quantized inertia. I am fascinated by the theory. I can't wait for the book to be out. And Mike McCullough is a guy who, for years, just like me, he's been on social media. From my understanding, he may not have employment. I don't know if he has employment in a university, but in any case, he decided to pursue the defense of his theory through books now rather than these official papers, because these official papers and peer-reviewed publication, they take years to, and they are subject of such gatekeeping that you can't think straight. You have to satisfy boomer scientists who have their own vision of what you should do. And it's just not good. You can't create anymore in the university network. So Mike McCullough, credit to him and respect to him. I think him and I might be two men of a genre that there isn't much out there. There aren't many people out there who have defended a scientific theory over more than a decade and who have just been ignored constantly. And we have done so publicly that it's impossible that we aren't ignored intentionally. That is the great problem here. It's that there are people who are denying themselves the privilege of seeing the truth. Now, is quantized inertia the truth? I mean, let me tell you, if what Mike McCullough says is true, then it's probably the truth. Because he says it explains so many of the problems of physics. I'm not good enough in physics to test it myself, but what a great guy, Mike McCullough, and a great presence on Twitter. And he comments on the Dugan interview. He says, this is fascinating. Dugan suggests that the wokeism in the Anglosphere is a continuation of the organic process of Western individualization ongoing for centuries, now becoming totalitarian. Trajectory equals post-humanism, the Matrix, Russia, thank God has refused, so is a target. Yes, Russia, having taken a different route, has become subject of hatred of the left. Boiling Fraud says, a professor of University Laval just lost his job because he published his findings about COVID-19 and that government overreacted. Doubting Thomas says, JF Google test of controversial quantum inertia propulsion didn't go as planned. Ah, interesting. This is an aspect of Mike McCullough where even I, not knowing the physics and judging really from a distant perspective, when he talks about turning this principle into an effective drive to push rockets forward, I think, you know what? Maybe it's not going to work. Most likely it's not going to work. The idea being that you can have a fuel-less push. But, you know, the thing is, quantized inertia relies on the idea of an event horizon. It makes absolute logical sense, just like black holes. But when we consider black holes and how they emit Hawking's radiation, it is believed that it is over trillions of years, basically, or billions and billions of years. I don't remember the exact order of magnitude, but like it's very slow for a black hole to leak through the event horizon through this method. So if you're going to tell me that me, Papa JF, and all of the matter that composes me are subject to something similar to the black hole, okay? This I'm explaining here my reasoning for doubting Mike McCullough on this one claim. If you're going to tell me that me and my mass, with respect to the rest of the universe, I'm a very small thing, a black hole is a very big thing, that I can push myself using the principles of quantized inertia without fuel, violating laws of physics that are currently standard, and that the push will be anything more than a millimeter per billions of years, I'd be very surprised. Because if the push was strong, why wouldn't the Hawking's radiation be stronger too? Why wouldn't the black holes leak mass faster? It seems that if you want to push me and send me across the stars to a new star system, you're gonna need some fuel. But so that's the quest of Mike McCullough, and he's been talking about... I'm happy that he gets to test it. But yes, it's a project funded by DARPA, tested by the DOD. I was also in DOD programs, when I was doing monkey research at Duke. The lab was funded by the Department of Defense. So sometimes there's these weird things because it's like military generals basically making decisions about, oh yeah, let's fund this crazy idea. Maybe we can make a rocket out of it. And, it's good. It's good that these experiments get done. But I've always believed that despite the fact that I think quantized inertia is probably true or probably very insightful into redoing our physics, I've always been sure also that Mike McCullough's rocket would crap out. Like the African rocket, you know? that was always a feeling. UCLA, the university network in the US is subject to a revolution. They have turned their student body and professor body so leftist and so anti-war that they've started to take seriously the slogan, silence is violence. And silence in front of the genocide of the Gazans is violence. Now, we need to talk about what as right-wing people who have been critical of Israel, how should we approach this student revolution? But before we consider the philosophical matters, let's look at the images. Some clashes at UCLA.
Now, this may be a sign of
the shields, tear down the umbrellas.
Oh, look at that. Somebody just took a pallet to the head. That was really, really bad. You're right. The ply board, the bottom of that brawl right there. Look at that. Somebody is being dragged and beaten in the front of that plywood wall.
The journalistic descriptions are getting wild.
She's not having law and order. I really don't care what you think. And if you don't like it, then you can leave this country, because that's what we expect in America. We expect you to abide by the laws. And as we're watching on the screen, people are now getting hurt. They are fighting. This is going to get very nasty, very fast.
So there are pro-Israel protesters sometimes fighting with the pro-Gaza protesters, or I don't even know. So some of this may be even larger than just the Gaza stuff. There's just general anarchy in the university system.
This is very nasty right now, this minute. We've just seen an out and out.
And there are women who have closed themselves into a New York university. It's like the Seattle Chaz encampment all over again. Far-left activists have declared the UCLA campus a liberated zone and are refusing entry for many students not affiliated with the pro-Gaza protest. So takeover of the location, Manhattan, New York, Columbia University. There were police trying to get the woman out who had locked themselves in.
Help clear the chairs while these guys go help get you.
Police, sir, this is a library.
They just barricaded us.
Oh my fucking god.
You're laughing.
No fucking way.
It's finals. Can I go home? I don't know if this is a student abandoning the protest or if it's a student trying to put themselves in the mood of denying their involvement in the protest. Perhaps seeing that they will be arrested, they may have thought, oh, well, I'll act like I was prisoner here. In any case, there is disruption of the university, and it's ultimately a deep contradiction of the left. This whole idea of, well, you know, they've developed an imaginary of victimization across the years. They've developed the concept of the victim Olympics, and they've put the Jews, they've elevated the Jews as the most victimized people. And now the Jews are committing a genocide, unquestionably, in Gaza. And so you have now people who have been hired in universities, some of them are Jews, some of them are Muslims, some of them have loose kind of anti-Semitic tendency and sympathy with the Muslims. And these people are training a whole generation of youth that is raised on social justice. And so you end up having a state of contradiction, a state of cognitive contradiction in the way we manage our cognition, basically, as a civilization. Because we've trained these young people to take the side of the victim at your moment in time. And they've been educated that 200 years ago, this was the blacks. 40 years ago, it was the gays. And today, it's the Gazans. And therefore, these youths that are revolting here, they are following the programming. They are following the programming that hilariously has been imbued in them by a largely Jewish academia. That's fascinating. So it's really the golem being unleashed by the Jews and eventually coming back to fight them. And you end up having the state here intervening through its police force. Basically, the state, people are comparing this to the BLM protest. The BLM protest, okay, we will side with a victimized minority, check. The black people, the Gazans. We will start painting our streets. We will start painting our streets with flags of LGBT and flags of BLM. We did this. The left did this. Now, where are the flags for the Gazans? This contradiction that you should consider that there's currently a genocide of trans people happening, but like it's nowhere to see, it's not on camera. And yet there's an actual genocide in Gaza happening. And you can see it, and there's bombs, and there's burnt babies. This fucks up the mind of the youth. And so the youth is like, I have to do something. This is the great injustice of my time. If I stay silent, I'm complicit. And they're right, you know. So I don't blame the student revolt here. Now, these students who are in these high-class universities, let me tell you, I was in a top university. Duke for my postdoc, but I would have never had the money to be a student there. Thankfully, I got into big universities when I was paid as a salaried researcher. But these young people, they have places bought for them in these universities by their parents. And it's in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. I would have never had the money to do this. So these people are in a very special situation. I've been seeing it at Duke. I was shocked. Like, the young people there, they have very rich parents that have paid hundreds of thousands of dollars for them to be there. Just the fact they have free food. They have a system of free food tickets. So they go to the cafeteria. And because their parents have paid so many hundreds of thousands of dollars, the university is like, we're going to care for your kid throughout. We're going to put your kid in a rented apartment that we have. So you're renting our apartments. Your kid is also going to eat at our cafeteria. They have one ticket for every day they can go get the food, or three tickets even for the three meals. So that's the kind of luxury, and I'm sure that it's the same thing at Columbia University. I'm sure you have to be quite a privileged person to be there. So these people are hyper-privileged, hyper-liberal, social justice-fed since their youth. They're doing exactly what their morals are telling them to do. And I say, don't stop them. You know, when I was listening earlier, there was a clip where a conservative speaker on Fox News is like, and if they don't like it, they should leave because this is not how America works. And as true right-wingers, we should step back and feel no side in this fight. No side at all. And we should not join the chorus of stupid political commentators who are like, oh, yeah, this is America. We can't have a protest for Gaza. You have to side with Israel, because the unspoken thing here is that the critique that is the right-wing critique that is done of these university protesters is disguised as a right-wing critique, but it is not a right-wing critique at all. It is a Zionist critique. ultimately, this is the testing ground for the great Zionist separation that separates the people who are into politics, but Israel first, and the people who are into politics with a pillar of morals around right wing first. And then we can discuss the question of Israel, but right wing first. All of these political commentators are, in one way or another, on the payroll of the AIPAC and the groups of pressure, because they know they will lose their job if they don't take the side of Israel here. So what have we seen during my vacation? Mockery of these students. Oh, they don't know what they're talking about. Oh, they are so naive. You're bombing babies. They're right about this. You're bombing babies. You are killing people. You are ethnically cleansing a little area of the world for the Jews. And it's great, ultimately, that people can be so deep into the left that they kind of reach a compromise with someone like me, where I agree with these people. Now, is the occupation of these universities justified? I don't care. Because you've tolerated occupation when it was BLM. You've not tolerated it when it was January 6th. And now you're not tolerating it because it's Gaza. Ultimately, we can see that the regime is tolerating protest based on whether the elites agree with those protests. And it was totally playing in their cards when the BLM protests were happening. What a shit show, but a shit show representative of the civilization we built. And while people like me were warning people, like, if you keep this immigration trend, eventually you're going to have more anti-Zionists in America than Zionists. And it's like, I can't interrupt my enemy when he makes an error. But you have... These whole dirty-looking young women, that they look like punks and hippies, modern hippies. It's a big mess, but it's the mess we deserve. And I'm happy that the elites have to spend all this salary on policemen, because the world is becoming inefficient as it should. You have built a world that is unsustainable, and this world will destroy itself. You deserve what's happening, and I hope the costs are enormous. Dead Star says, the real question is, why does Zion Don have to go so hardcore for Israel? Couldn't he just take a low-key stance on the fence and rake in the Gaza votes? I can't help but think his Zio Bankster supporters are hurting him, asking him to take such a hardline position. Well, yeah, I mean, it's the fact is the strategy of Donald Trump is to win the Jewish vote, believe it or not. No matter how much smearing they've done of him in their media, Donald Trump has a different reaction than me to this. To me, when you draw a line in the sand and you show yourself to be an enemy, I will treat you as a threat going forward, a threat to me. Zion Dunn believes that everything is negotiable, even his own moral standing. But that's what happens when you have these businessmen. Everything is up for sale. So he's thinking that he can win enough of the right-wing vote, that the right-wing vote is truly captured to him. He's not wrong. I would vote for Donald Trump because I'm not going to vote for Joe Biden. And even if Joe Biden was replaced, he would be replaced by someone who's way too leftist for me to vote for them. So his analysis, Donald Trump, is correct. The Christian right-wing vote is in his hand. And so he wants to expand and show to the leftist Zionist, you will not get your Zionism on the side of the Democrats anymore because they have veered way too anti-war. Come to see Papa Donald Trump. Papa Donald Trump will give you your sweet Zionist juice. Exelus says, JF, have you worked on some new bars lately? Any chance we get a new rap song? The chances that I ever produced another rap song are close to zero. I would say I have more confidence in Mike Michelow's quantized inertia rocket than I do, than I do in my rap career. This generation has the sense for drama. There is no way you can't stop this fall unless you're unconscious. But this guy is not unconscious. This guy is intentionally rolling down the stair to claim a status of higher victimization from the police. I mean, look at the role. This is an intentional, stunt artist level of intentional throwing yourself down the stairs. your body cannot have accumulated so much energy. I mean, we're back to quantized inertia here. Was this a case of quantized inertia? Is it possible that a primordial black hole here was sucking this person so that the acceleration is deceptively high? Like, if you are rolling like this, you can easily stop here by just stopping to roll, putting your knee and protecting yourself. But this guy wanted to have been thrown the whole way because he knew, oh, it's a policeman pushing me. Maybe I can have an insurance claim. Maybe I can have some interview on CNN. If I roll the whole stairs, that's a big fall. I mean, those are the least steep stairs that humanity has ever produced. I mean, you basically have to step twice per stair. This is not steep, okay? You're not rolling down this. This is a pleasant ride rolling down this. It's a fun ride for the guy. Like, if you were thrown with such acceleration that you can't control your fall, we would see signs of someone having exerted some push on you. We don't even see this. Victim pause, social reinforcement of the victim position by display of care. The normies are fucking rotting in their core. This is what I've been seeing throughout my whole vacation. A bunch of fucking normies have plastered this earth. Just, they are everywhere. Eva says that her YouTube speech has been deleted for hate speech, for simply stating the Great Replacement is not a theory, it's a reality. Hopefully YouTube is going down. Hopefully YouTube never succeeds and things like Odyssey, Rumble will be the place for freedom going forward. Boiling Frog says, JF, les marches géantes du barrage de la Grande ou Manic 5 lol, just be a contrarian. Just being a contrarian. Yes, it is true that the hydroelectric dam, La Grande et le Manic 5, has less steep stairs than what we've seen on the video. You are correct. Thank you for correcting me. The House has passed a bill to define alleging Jewish involvement in Christ's crucifixion as anti-Semitism. So that's the House. I don't know if it will pass the Senate. I certainly know that it's not constitutional, bro. So, yeah, we should be alarmed that politicians are trying to push this. I don't expect this bill to survive the test of the Supreme Court, because this would make The Passion of the Christ by Mel Gibson. The Passion of the Christ would be anti-Semitism by this definition. And by the way, there's a whole principle in law that there should be no delegation of power. If I'm voting for a politician, this politician must be the one voting for the laws. Because I haven't voted for Jew Mr. A or Mr. Jew B or Mr. Jew C. If I vote for a politician, he should be the one voting for the laws. But we have more and more, especially on the Democratic side, on the left side, they trust organizations. So the contemporary examples of anti-Semitism identified in the IHRA definition. Why do we have here a law importing a definition by an activist group? There should be no such thing. That should be illegal. No delegation of power. A judge cannot make the work of a politician. A politician cannot make the work of a private businessman. And importantly, the work of the politicians must be reserved to the politicians. If you give the ground of definitions and semantics to interested groups, you are already losing the battle. You're already losing the politics. Meanwhile, there's a little drop in Bitcoin price and the markets are doing bad. Everyone is complaining and people are feeling depressed on Twitter. They're saying, oh, it's all over. Calm down. Calm down. It's all because the Fed came out and basically says, the money supply is growing too fast. Inflation is going too fast. And the Fed is talking about maybe rate hikes, maybe slowing down the planned rate hikes or whatever. There's uncertainty on the market and it results in lower prices. Never forget that the last bull run, someone showed a graph on Twitter. The last bull run, there were 7 times where the dip happened around 30%. So we're in a 30% dip. We're in the thing that happens 7 times during a bull run. And we're in the first dip of the bull run. So I personally am not looking at the variation of price with worries. I think it's indicative that, okay, it's looking for a bottom. Once we reach that bottom, I expect that the bull run will continue. And never forget, we're in the first candle of this halving. There's 10, 15, 20, 30 candles of days, up to 100 days before we reach the peak. So when you reach such a high as we did, which we already broke the all-time high before the halving, it's not surprising that it falls back down violently, because it's unsustainable. Yeah. We went too fast, too high, but we should be thankful of this. We shouldn't be worried. We should be thankful that everything is ahead of schedule in this Bitcoin halving. And we learned that CZ of Binance, I was always scandalized at the fact that they're going after this guy because he was the most honest guy in crypto. And he's been operating very fairly as Binance. And he was found criminal and all, and it took months and months. We learned that his final punishment is 4 months in jail. That is a very small punishment. I've always thought that he deserved no punishment at all. I'm happy that it turned out to be a small one. And I'm happy that he will be out. I'm sure he will not be involved in direct management anymore, because once you are dirtied by the system, you really can't. But I think it's a great injustice what's been done to this guy, because they went after him just out of frustration that their guy was more corrupt than him, Sam Bankman-Fried. Their guy lost and they got pissed and they started having increased scrutiny. Increased scrutiny is the biggest evil that the bureaucrats can do. It's when they start paying more attention to you because they hate you. And that's what happened here. Doubting Thomas says, JF, do you think the prosecution of CZ is a contributing factor in the BTC dip? I think that the prosecution of CZ had much more weight in the past. So it might have caused uncertainty in the past when it was new, when he was arrested. Now that we have a finalization of the case and that it turns out that he's only in jail for 4 months, that's ridiculously low. It turned out to be very small crimes for which they caught him. Like phrasings on your private emails. And it seems that he's saying this here. So no, I don't think that the current news around CZ has any influence on price. Goodbye. You have violated our rules and I'm banning you from our channel. And finally, great news. Before I go tonight, Odyssey has a heart of internet ninja and they are very positive about the future. We will never shut down Odyssey or exit an international market. Retreat is not an option. We will build technology immune to tyranny. That is so great, Odyssey. The one thing I would need is a good software that allows me to stream through a peer-to-peer network of internet ninjas, exchangeable addresses, maybe tie it to a cryptocurrency and maybe get people to volunteer as host of the stream so they can speed up the process of distribution. What if everyone with their home connection could contribute to free speech? I think this is where Odyssey seems to be headed. I'm all for it, Odyssey, and call me if you need me. I'm kind of a good coder. I can't do your whole platform, but I could be a very good counsel if we're talking Node.js, Solidity. If we're talking about connecting this world that you're creating, this P2P or whatever tyranny resistance that you're talking about, if you want to connect this to the blockchain, call Papa JF. Call Papa JF and I am willing to counsel and work for free, because Odyssey, I think, the success of Odyssey has allowed me to make a living for many years now. So I'm totally willing to give back. Elon Musk, again, you know, missing the mark when he says men are favoring hedonistic sex over children too much. Give men something else. Give men a guarantee of child parenting. And they're not going to care all that much about hedonistic sex. you get tired very quick of hedonistic sex. You get tired, your bowels start hurting. It's like they start being red. So give fathers a guarantee that they won't be disconnected from their children until they're 18. We don't have this. At the whims of an abusive ex who decides to tell lies about you, you can be separated from your children. And they are very decent men, very decent fathers who are disconnected from their children based on entirely lies. As long as we have this, as long as we have more rights, we have more rights to so many things. We have more rights to have guns, more rights to have free speech than we do to be with our own children. As long as that is the case, don't complain that men are favoring hedonistic sex. Fix the legal issue. And then we can coach men toward being good fathers and appreciating their role as a parent. That is it for tonight. Thank you for being here, and I'm back on the internet. I'll be here pretty much every night. As you know, I tend to take 1-2 breaks a week these days, you know. So I think I'll go back to a schedule like this, 5 days a week. And when there's a low news day, I take a break. And when I'm a little too tired, I take a break. I've been sick this whole vacation. So it's good that I was on vacation in the end because my voice was very weak. We had coughs after coughs after coughs. But that's what happens when you hang out in border places, airports. We ended up in all the places of the viruses, and it seems that I've been living such an isolated lifestyle that re-exposing myself to this milieu gave me like 3 coughs in a row. Like, I had cough, and then I had sweat, and then I had fever, and then I had another cough, and a new cough has started 3 days ago. So I'm kind of on the late part of that cough. My voice was not totally recovered today, but I did okay. People are asking, did I fuck a jabbed woman? No. I'm not going to provide details on this, but Exodus says, JF has found sexy love again. Absolutely. I am with the greatest woman I have ever known. And my life has been filled with pleasure, filled with more relaxation, more sleep, more collaboration. For the first time in my life, I am with a woman who brings a positive contribution to my life. She's not a cost. She's not a heavy weight that I have to carry around. She's not a burden. She is, in fact, all love, all help, all beauty. And it's unbelievable that I found this at 40 years old. Unbelievable. Like, she makes me realize just how sick this world is, because it's not so hard. Like, I don't tell her, do this, do that, do the dishes, do the cleaning. Just the fact that she's not a cost to me, an emotional cost. Just the fact that I don't have to be nervous checking my cameras. Is someone kidnapping people that I love? Is someone starting a fire in the house? Is someone dipping her laptop in water? I have to do none of this with her. I can just trust her because she's a high intelligence, high class, high beauty woman. That is all I've ever wanted. And it is more, in fact. Much love, and see you all tomorrow.
Thank you.